For the day will come upon thee when enemies will throw up a rampart about thee, and surround thee and shut thee in on every side, and will dash thee to the ground, and thy children within thee, and will not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear friends, today's readings remind us of the sin of idolatry. Idolatry is not giving God the honor and glory that he deserves. As you know, the scriptures tell us God is a jealous God. He does not want to see that which should be given to him be given to other things. We are not to practice idolatry. Idolatry, which could be love of self, love of different people, love of things, and so on. And we see severe punishments to the Jews for their idolatry. Here God, throughout their history, had taken good care of them. Just the events of Egypt and how he delivered them from Pharaoh. And then when Pharaoh was just about to pounce on them at the Red Sea, they were cornered like a rat when you think about it. There they were, the sea before them, and Pharaoh breathing fire with his chariots and charioteers. My dear friends, and what happened? What happened? My goodness, what a miracle. The Red Sea parts. How can a sea part open up? And the Jews went through. And sadly, not sadly, but for what they deserve, the hard-hearted Pharaoh went after the Jews in between with the water to his right and to his left. And what happened? The water closed in upon them. And not a man was alive after that. And the Jews were saved. What an incredible miracle. Then, of course, the Lord fed them throughout their 40 years with manna from heaven. He gave them water from rocks, with Moses tapping the rocks and water would come. He fed them with all kinds of meat from fowls, birds that would come down. And he took so good care of them. And what did the Jews do? With the fatted calf, when Moses went up the mountain, we see how they adored the calf instead of God. And of course, for that, they were punished. And so we in our lives, if we don't adore God the way he should be, and the church has already acknowledged what we should do in our adoration of God, we must give God adoration. We must praise him, and we must honor him, and we must glorify him, and we must thank him for all the things that we have. We take so much for granted in life. Just recently, somebody came into the church, a mother and a daughter, and I noticed the daughter clutching her arms. And then I looked down, and I saw there was no hands. She only had stumps, no hands. And I could not believe it. How do you live in this world without hands? Think about it. All the things that we do with our hands. Maybe some things that we do with our hands that are not good. But hopefully we do a lot of things with our hands that are practical and that are good and so forth. Where would we be without our hands? And then I looked at my hands and I saw all the veins and everything else. And I says, oh, what precious hands these are that God has given me all my life so that I can do all the things that I've done. And I felt so sorry for that young lady. I said, how can you live this life without hands? How can you do it? How? And yet, there she was. I didn't get a chance to speak to her, but I can rest assured to you, my friends, she certainly must have had some sad moments in her life. And if anything, this, for all the things that God has given us, our bodies, we can hear, we can see, we can touch, we can talk, we can eat, and so on. And so many people have so many problems with their bodies and so much difficulties that we have to be grateful for everything that has been given to us. And this is why we need to adore God. He has given us so much, and we give so little. The church asks us to go to Mass once a week for an hour. This is how we adore and praise God. And when you look at the beautiful prayers of this Mass, my dear friends, they are so beautiful, of the Latin Mass that we say here. That's why you should have the books in front of you, and while the priest is reading the Latin prayers, you read them in English and realize the beautiful prayers that we have in praising and honoring and glorying and thanking God and begging Him for forgiveness for our sins, right? We beg for forgiveness of our sins, propitiation. We propitiate God, forgiveness of our sins. And what a blessing that is, to have our consciences know that we can go to confession and have all our sins forgiven by the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Think of all the people in our world today that must be walking around with bad consciences, with filled with sins. How are they going to get rid of their sins? Only the Catholic Church believes in the forgiveness of sins. Some people say they give their sins to Jesus and Jesus has forgiven them. True. He will take away our sins, but we have to ask Him and we have to be sorry for them. And we must practice the means by which He has forgiveness of sins, which is confession. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Oh, how blessed we are in the Catholic faith. And we see in today's readings, they did not know the time of thy visitation, the Jewish people. And when Jesus came at Palm Sunday, He saw the temple and He said, you shall see a stone not upon a stone. All right? Because the Jews cried out, His blood be upon us and our children. Yes, His blood was upon them and their children in the year 70 AD, when Titus and the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem. We also see throughout history, as I alluded to already, in the incident with the golden calf, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to play. The second incident is the sin of fornication of the Israelites with the women of Moab, and the sin of idolatry with the worship of Baal Peor and the heathen banquets. Neither, quote, as First St. Paul tells us, neither let us commit fornication, even as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 24,000 Jews. 24,000. We don't hear too much about that. God forbid if God punished everybody who fornicated and committed adultery and committed homosexuality. Where would we be in our life with all the sins of the flesh? As Our Lady said, most souls will go to hell because of the sins of the flesh. And what are we doing? We're glorifying the sins of the flesh. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, transgenderism, all sins of the flesh. And if God punished the Jews, what will He do to us? The third incident concerns the tempting of the Israelites in the desert when they murmured about the manna. For this, they were punished by the plague of snakes. The fourth incident concerned the Jews when the destroying angel killed 14,700 of them, of the Israelites, after they murmured against Moses and Aaron. St. Paul uses these incidents to teach the Corinthians not to yield to temptation that offend God. He said, God is faithful, and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength, but with temptation will also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. So God will never tempt us beyond what we can bear. So we should not be murmuring and complaining all the time, as we see. And we see the hardness of the heart of the Jews, all right? They did not believe in Jesus. And of course, they crucified him. And of course, they condemned themselves when they said, his blood be upon us and our children. And the Jews received the punishment. Dom Prosper Gallinger talks about this great punishment. Never in the history of the world, never before had such an incredible catastrophe happened. A catastrophe where so many people were killed. And we see this in the fall of Jerusalem. The fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD to the Romans under Titus was the single most destructive catastrophe the world had seen up to that time. Over 1,100,000 men perished. Thousands more of women and children died of starvation. The prophecies were fulfilled completely. The mighty city of Jerusalem was destroyed because they had not known the Lord's visitation. Amen, I say to you, there will not be left one stone upon a stone that will not be thrown down. Even the great Roman general, Titus, says when he saw the stones that they had destroyed the city, he said, I did not do this. We did not do this. All right? As if to say, this is the work of God. And Jesus, when he saw that, he saw Jerusalem, and they marveled that people would marvel at Jerusalem, and he prophesied, not a stone will be put up, will be stand upon a stone. Amen, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. The curse at that time of Jesus' condemnation was fulfilled. His blood be upon us and our children. Hitherto, the world had never witnessed such destruction, and the world has never seen the like again. My dear friends, Our Lady of Fatima came to tell us that we must stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. She said that whole nations would be annihilated. She predicted, prophesied that there'd be a second world war if men did not come back while the first world war was still going on. She told little Jacinta that war was a punishment for sin, and therefore our world was punished greatly after Fatima when we didn't stop committing sin. In Akita in 1973, Our Lady said, if men continue along, two-thirds of the world will be destroyed. Two-thirds. My dear friends, I could go on and on. I don't want to depress you with all the prophecies of these times, but all you have to do is read some of the messages from the various seers of today, and you realize that time is moving very fast. There'll be not a stone upon a stone will again happen to our world if we don't come back to God. This is why it's so important for us to pray the rosary, all right? And to live in good lives and go to confession and come back to church. We have to tell people it is time for you to come back to church before it is too late. The Lord keeps on telling the modern day prophets, time is very short. I just read one recent message where the Lord told one of the seers, they have not listened to my mother. She came and they did not listen to her, as I said. She told us not to offend God. He's too much offended by sin. She told us that many marriages were not good. She told us that many souls will go to hell because of sins of the flesh, or most souls will go to hell because of the sins of the flesh. She told us to pray and sacrifice so that souls would not be lost for all eternity, and we have not listened. Time is very, very short. And this is why we need to pray our rosary and to make sure that our families and our friends and our relatives come back to God and to adore Him and honor Him and glorify Him and bless Him. Right? And as Catholics, come back to church and get back to confession. I ask people, when was your last confession? And for many, they sort of smile and say, oh, that was a long time ago. My dear friends, it's not a laughing matter. We got to come back to the Lord and be in the state of grace, or else we'll be just as hard-hearted as the Jews. His blood be upon us and our children, they cried out, and it was. So the blood of Christ will be on us and our children if we do not come back. This is the message of today. Our Lord wants us to repent, and our Lord wants us to give Him the honor and the glory, and His mother the honor and the glory that they deserve. And then we will have eternal happiness, as Our Lady says. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, and there will be an era of peace for a time. Oh, let us pray for that era of peace, and let us pray that souls will come back to the Lord and give Him the glory and the honor for all that He deserves, for all the things that He has given them. May the Lord bless you.